you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We speak your word, Jesus. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we speak your life, Lord, in this house in the name of Jesus. We release the life of God. Lord, we thank you that we will not quit. We will not stop. We thank you, Lord God, that we have your mind. You've delivered your mind through your word and through your spirit. And Father, we speak your mind this day. We release your mind. This is the day that, Lord, you've created for us to go forward in you. Immokalee is in revival, and we speak your life. We speak your glory. We speak all that you are, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You've raised us up into heavenly places. We're seated with Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we glorify you. We worship you. Father, let the angel of the Lord pursue our enemies in the spirit realm. Let the angel of the Lord pursue them and persecute them in the name of Jesus. Let the power of God, Lord, we pray that you'll beat them sore as the dust. Lord, we pray that you will cause us to be lifted up. Father, we speak your life in the name of Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. As they went out, Jehoshaphat's army, they had an expectation of their victory before they ever got there. And when they got there, they found that the whole desert floor was covered with corpse of all the thousands and thousands of their enemies. They began to praise God even before they got to the fight. Even before they saw the victory, they had something inside of them that said, I know it's done. I know it's done. So that's what we're holding on to this morning. Hallelujah. That's what we're looking to this morning. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. There's none like you. There's none like you, Jesus. There's an army raising up. We just praise God for that. Hallelujah. Glorify you, Jesus. My succoras. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just stand in him. Just magnify him. Just some more. Psalms 149 says this. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. And let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. That's one thing we haven't done yet this morning. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and harp. Hallelujah. Let them praise him in the dance. Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know if you agree with this or not, but the man had like 11 documented raisings from the dead. They said about him, they said that he said if God didn't move, he moved God. We know in a certain sense you really can't move God, but he meant what he was saying was he'd moved over in. They said that he would sometimes get out of bed in the morning. You know how you feel when you get out of bed. Sometimes you don't want to get out. You'd just rather lay there. But it was told of him that he'd get out and that he'd just start dancing. He'd just start dancing. And before it was all over with, the Holy Ghost would come upon him. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to make that initial effort. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to begin to move in. Now you say, well, I'm not going to dance this morning. You got to do something. Hallelujah. You got to move forward somehow. He said, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel. And the timbrel, we know we got one of those. A harp we don't have. Let the Lord, he says, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. Hallelujah. But you put on salvation this morning, you'll get prettier. Some of you need to put on salvation this morning. More makeup or more salvation? I'm not sure. No, I'm just kidding. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute. Now listen, this is the part I wanted to get to. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and the punishment upon the people. He's not talking about people here. Not in the realm that we live. He's talking about spiritual things. He says here, he clarifies in verse 8, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. The kings are the big devils. The nobles are the ones that follow them around to do their bidding. But guess what? When you begin to praise him, you bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. It says to execute upon them the judgment that's written. Everything that's written is written for our sake against them. It says, this honor has all his saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are going to take that honor this morning? Go ahead and take that honor this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you give me some lights? We can brighten this place up just a little bit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you go ahead and prepare yourself to give this morning if you have something. We're going to go ahead and let you do that in just a moment before we do anything else. So why don't you contemplate and ask him? The best way to do it is just to go inside yourself and just ask the Lord what he'd have you to give. What's your part in today? Why don't you say this with me? I say that Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee, my home, you're in revival. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to this region. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The dead are raised. Demoniacs are set free. My family gets saved. My husband gets saved. My wife gets saved. My kids get saved. I say, the maimed are made whole. Demoniacs are set free. I said it again. Thousands and thousands are born again in this revival. That's what I'm given to this morning. Hallelujah. How's Sammy doing? Isn't that amazing? Now in November, Sammy, your son, was healed of in Pastor Dave's meetings. His back, it had an operation, and they had fused his back or put rods in there or what? And he was been that way for how many years? 7 years. Lives in Texas. But he got healed. How many of you were here in that service? And do you know he's still healed? He's still healed. When he came in, he could hardly walk. When he left, he was running and leaping like the man in the temple. Hallelujah. So why do you bring that up? Because that's what you're giving to this morning. You're giving to that. We're headed to that. We're going to get a whole lot more of that. There's going to be a lot of Sammys. Hallelujah. And you get to be a part of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, speak to our hearts. That which you'd have us to give, we give with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And we thank you for it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Okay. Why don't you go ahead and have these offering. And you've greeted one another, so you really don't have to do that again. But why don't you bring something forward as we just worship the Lord a little bit more. Thank you, Jesus. Masoka dene. Moka lasia dene. Odobrese ne. Ojeate la closo. So vede becchiolo classene. So.
entering a time. We're getting closer. Everything that we've been believing God for is right in front of us. The closer we get to it, the more it's important for us to know how much we have to fight for it. How many understand that? Romans 8 is really the pivotal point. It's the pivotal point of the Word of God, even though it's not, it's the pivotal point per se between the old and the new. It's not Malachi, and then Matthew. It doesn't come between Malachi and Matthew, but it is, as far as truth is concerned, it is. In chapter 7, Paul is describing a man who was a man that, just like every man that ever lived in 4,000 years, he was describing a man who couldn't get control of his flesh. The reason why he couldn't get control of his flesh is he didn't have anything to get control of the flesh with. All he could do was serve God with the mind. That's all he could do. And he describes that part in there that Christians really love to use. They love to use that part where it says, the things that I would do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And they tell you, well, that's just who we are. That's not who we are. That's who they were prior to Christ. That's who they were prior to Christ. The greatest thing that you have today is a choice. Hallelujah. That's the greatest thing you have today is a choice. And he provided that choice through the cross. At the end of chapter 7, he's saying, I'm in a great dilemma. Who shall deliver me? Who's going to deliver me from this dilemma? In chapter 7, Paul is personified. He basically steps into first person personification to everybody that lived before Christ or lived before what Christ did for us and begin to say, I'm in a terrible dilemma. I can't stop sinning. I can't stop doing the things I don't want to do. And he said, who's going to deliver me? Is there anybody that has the power to deliver me? And then at the end of 7, he says, I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank God. Why do you thank God for Jesus Christ? Because the pivotal point switches into chapter 8 and says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Look what it says in verse 1 of chapter 8. There is therefore now what? No condemnation. You know what that means? There's no condemning sentence anymore. In other words, your flesh cannot make you do anything you don't want to do. Hallelujah. Well, I had to yell at her. No, you don't have to yell at her. I had to get mean and mad and ugly. Me and Homer were coming along with Pastor Dave a few years ago from the airport. We had just picked him up. You know, he walks in a little bit of power. And I'm kind of trying to follow that. He was talking and he said, you know what? If you knew, Homer and I were listening, he said, if you knew even what anger had to do with your unbelief and keeping things from coming to pass that you've been praying for, you wouldn't even allow yourself to get angry. And we said, oh no, oh no, oh no. Well, it's the truth. Everything comes under that place where everything has dominion under the new nature. There is therefore now no condemnation. It doesn't mean I don't have to be condemned about, you know, what I did in sin. That's the wrong word. It's conviction. You do have to be convicted. You do have to repent. But he says here, what's so amazing, he says in verse 9, look, he says, but ye are not, oh, verse 6, he says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But the carnal mind is an enmity. It's against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Everybody said, well, I was in the flesh yesterday. How many have ever said, told somebody, I got in the flesh yesterday. I cussed the cat. Or the guy that pulled me, you know, cut me off in traffic. I did the wrong thing. I did this, I did that. Or I told a little white lie, which there is no such thing. I told this, I said this. Oh, I got in the flesh. That's not what it's talking about here. He says, those that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. But you're not, he makes a blanket statement. What is that blanket statement? You're not in the flesh. In other words, he doesn't want you to even think of yourself in the flesh anymore. Why? Because you've been born again. Hallelujah. Everybody wave at me if you've been born again, those that have. He says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead of sin because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Hallelujah. And if that Spirit that raised up him, that's Christ, from the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Well, since sin doesn't have dominion over you, since it doesn't have the power, it has no longer any condemning sentence. In other words, it cannot make you do anything that you don't want to do. Then everything else is in retrospect of that. So it's throughout your whole walk into Christ, it's how much you'll go into Him and how much you'll allow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and how much you will not give excuse. One of the things that He uses, that God uses for your authority, is when you begin to say, okay, I won't give an excuse for that. One of the things that the enemy uses in great power is when, as long as you continue to say, I have to do that to survive, or I have to give place to that because that's just who I am. No, there's no condemning sentence. You're no longer in the flesh, meaning this, not that you couldn't get in the flesh. It just means this, that you have a positional truth that once you've been born again is the way that God looks at you. You're no longer in the flesh. Everybody in the flesh is those that's not been born again. Everybody that's in the Spirit, those are the ones that have been born again who have the nature of Christ. Once you begin to walk that out, you understand this. You understand that you're building a house brick by brick by brick. Everything that comes at you either has the capacity to build a citadel against the wisdom of God, or else you have the capacity to receive something and say, no, I think I'll chuck this one, because I'm building a wisdom of God inside of me that says this, the more I go into Him, the more I'm going to be a candidate for the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the dumb speaking. I don't care what, well, I don't care what my body says. I don't care what the carnal appetites of, see, Here's an amazing thing to understand and reconcile. Jesus, He had a body just like yours. It was a human body. Do you know that body had the body that He lived in? It had the capacity. It could, I should say it like this. He didn't ever allow it to. It could have sinned. It could have. He wasn't inoculated against sin. So where are the carnal appetites or the things that could rise up and come and take you over or do anything that would stop or abate your going forward in God? It lives in that place of the body. It doesn't have to come up to a place where it dominates. It just lives in that place of the body where if the mind ever sides with the body, you know what that's called? It's called a carnal mind. In other words, it'll go along with the flesh. Christ ruled over his all of his life. And that's what he expects us to do, rule over ours. Why? Because we're on a collision course with revival. It's not just me that's going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Look at your hands. Look at your neighbor's hands. Say, let me see your hands. These are hands that are going to be used in the revival. Praise God. What did he say here? Let's look at verse 3. Paul is speaking by the Spirit. He says this, For though we walk in the flesh, well, I thought you said we don't walk in the flesh. No, what he's talking about here is though we walk in a body, a flesh suit, though we walk in a flesh suit that could have the capacity to sin, or it could have the capacity to go along with the appetites of sin. In other words, it could be not so nice to your friends, not so nice to your loved ones, and not so nice to your husband, wife, or those who are closest to you. He says, though we live in this flesh body, though we have one of them, we do not war after the flesh. How many of you know that if you try to tame your flesh by your flesh, it does not work? It does not work. Wave at me. Hallelujah. I know you're still here. For the weapons of our warfare are what? They're not carnal. In other words, they don't come out of your ability to launch a warfare. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but are what? They're mighty through God to doing what? Pulling down strongholds. What are strongholds? Casting down, he goes into. Tell you what they are. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. Hold your Bible up and say this. This is his knowledge. This is what it's all about right here. The only reason why he comes, the enemy, say that. He's not after me. He's after this. This is the knowledge of God. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is exalting itself against the Word of God. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into what? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, how do you do that? You take His Word and you say, look, what He's describing here really is a system of thought. I like the way Pastor Dave says a stronghold is a system of thoughts empowered by emotions. They're empowered by emotions. But every time that anything is built, it has to be built brick by brick by brick. In the same way, anything that is demolished, when you step up and the Holy Spirit says, okay, look, I want to use you with miracles like you've never been used before. But there are certain things that I've got to destroy. There's fears, there's anxieties, there's dissimulations, there's maybe things inside of you that... How many have ever thought you really loved people a whole lot and then the Holy Spirit showed you that maybe there were some areas that you could get a hold of yourself and you could say, okay, maybe I can consent that I thought I was a perfect picture of love, but they did something wrong and or looked at me wrong or said something wrong or it got back to me, and then, boy, I found out that there was still some appetite in there to fight. Well, maybe there's a stronger stronghold in there sometimes than what you realize. But he says this, casting down imaginations and bringing every thought, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is how we do it. We go to the Word of God, keep praying in tongues, keep praying in tongues, and keep praying in tongues. And then the Holy Spirit begins to take everything that's in His Word, and He begins to cause you to begin to see the judgment that only that he can give you. And you begin to say, Lord, purge me, purge me, purge me. Well, then he begins to purge you this way, by giving you the word of God to be able to say, okay, here's maybe I'm laying my hand on part of a citadel. I'm laying my hands on something maybe that's inside of me that needs to be destroyed brick by brick by brick. Well, how do you make those kinds of judgments? You can't make them of yourself. The carnal mind can't make those. Only the Holy Spirit can show you through the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at it, verse 10. Well, verse 9 sounds like a funeral verse. This is the one they quote at funerals more often than not. It says, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. A lot of times you'll hear that verse spoken at funerals. They'll say, you know, we don't really know what God's prepared for us. When we get over there in the sweet by and by, we're going to find out what he has. Did you know that verse is not talking about that at all? What this is all talking about is an inheritance that you have presently with Christ. In a moment, it's going to get over into spiritual discernment. In a moment, it's going to get over into a place where you can say, okay, I can look at things brick by brick. And I can say, oh God, I want to know you. And if I want to know you, the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, there has been a spiritual law set into effect. The moment that I got born again, just as sure as gravity, nothing can stop me from getting to know God. The law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So when I get over into places where those things start coming and citadels start arising, or it sounds like, or it looks like, that it's not going to have, that I'm not going to have the capacity to get past it. Well, the word says here, verse 10, but God has revealed, again, verse 9, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us. Say, that's me. What's he talking about? Just what heaven looks like? No, no, no. What he's talking about is what you look like to the Father through the inheritance of Christ, everything that he made you to be. He says, for God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. And he's not talking about the Holy Spirit there. Because he's not saying that the Holy Spirit's having to search God. How would the Holy Spirit, you know, the word says in the Old Testament, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. In other words, the spirit, your born-again nature is the part of you that searches the wisdom of God, that God uses that. He uses it as the search engine. It's the Google inside of you that the Holy Spirit begins to use to search the wisdom of God. Well, what kind of wisdom am I searching? I want to know what it is that keeps causing me to fail. I want to know what it is that keeps putting a ceiling over my life. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, the only way that you can do that is to go to him. Well, what does he promise us here? Well, we've not received. He says in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man except, or the word save is except, the spirit of man which is in him. In other words, this is just speaking of your spiritual DNA. You are what you are. What a man is by his spirit is what he is. Either he's carnal or else he's fleshly, meaning he's not yet been born again. Or he is a man of the spirit. Save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God, meaning that Spirit which is of him. Again, it's still talking about the new nature. It hasn't even gotten to the Holy Spirit. Now, we have not received the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. In other words, all of that inheritance, everything that Christ is to you, in you, and through you. What things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but in that which the Holy Ghost teaches. Now, he names the Holy Ghost here. comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the Holy Spirit says, okay, look, I've got something inside of you. That's a new nature. I can compare spiritual with spiritual. I can teach you, even though the things that the natural man, he can't understand it, but you can understand it because you've got something on the inside that I can teach you with. Oh, and by the way, you know those bricks that need to be dissembled? I can give you spiritual discernment of how to dissemble those bricks. Why? Because you've got a nature now. You've got something on the inside that I can teach you with. He says, which things we speak in the words in which, not in the words in which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. In other words, he's saying, look, this is what you look like. Look at my nose. Touch your nose. Do you have one? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit says to you. Yeah, you can touch your nose also. He says, do you have one? Yes, sir. Well, that's what healing looks like. Do you have an ear? Yes, I do. That's what deliverance looks like. Do you have a mouth? Yes, sir. Comparing spiritual things to spiritual things, he's saying, look, this is what the image of Christ looks like. You've got one just like his. You've got a spirit just like his. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual does what? He judges all things. Everybody say all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But aren't you glad we have the mind of Christ? Hallelujah. So what he's saying here is this. Your carnal mind or your mind that would go after the flesh. You don't have a carnal mind, you have a mind of Christ. But that part of your body would say, I'd side with my mind. It can't make spiritual judgment. But you do have the mind of Christ. In other words, this is what we stand in. Whereby we're able, it says here, we're able to make judgment into all things, into everything. We're able to look into it and say, okay, God, by your Spirit, you're going to teach me, how do I become a revivalist? How do I walk in the fullness of your anointing? Okay, well, there's a part of you over here that you didn't see. Okay, well, what about it? Well, take the Word of God, because it's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. Now you take the Word of God and you de-exalt it. You de-exalt it. You bring it under subjection. You can't see those things of yourself. But aren't you glad that you've got one that's with you, called the Holy Spirit? He's leading us and guiding us into all truth, and His Word is truth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Why don't you just stand with me? Hallelujah. Lift your hands. We glorify you. We glorify you. How many of you want to go further? Amen. If you got a longing, step over into something that you haven't had and you're really hungry this morning, I think you could come and stand. I could pass over you and whatever I have, if I've got something that he's got something for you, then I'd release it. But otherwise, you can stand and just worship. Let's just worship and offer up your spirit just for a moment. Say, God, if there's anything, show me what I need to do to go into that next level. And you know he will. He'll begin to work inside. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Glorify you, Jesus. Give us Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship together. Jesus. If you wanted to come and stand, you could. If you wanted to make that next step into Him. I glorify You. Jesus. Something inside of you that's wanting more. Jesus, Jesus. Glorify You. I exalt You, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. I glorify You. The rest of you just continue to worship with us. Glorify You. Jesus. Need some of our prayer people up here helping to meet. Jesus. Glory. Glory, Jesus. Jesus. So stretch your faith this way. Jesus. Father. Give Him what He wants in the name. Jesus, more, release it now, in the name of Jesus, more, 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 Jesus, crece, tu la frasata, de crece a te, Jesus, take Him to the next level, in Jesus' name. Release, release now in Jesus' name. Give Him more, Jesus. Give Him more, Jesus. Give Him more. More in Jesus' name. So can I stand? Dola can I stand? Bodo can I stand? Can I stand? Do can I stand? Bless this little one. I call it totally perfect all the days of its life. We rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. We give You all the glory. Thank You, Father. It's held secure. It's held secure. We give You all the praise. Glory in Jesus' name. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. So good to see you. Blessed. Just continue to stand or sit in His presence. Give way to this. Anybody that feels like they need to go, they can go. We just bless you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, could I son, I could stand. We glorify. Song to go out of here with. Nobody has to leave.